Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today. Hi there, my friend. On today's program, we're bringing you the second part of Dr. Yoder's message, Ministries in the Body. Last week, Dr. Yoder explained the foundational step of understanding how the ministries of the body are identified. He pointed out 8 categories of ministry. They were apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, governments, and diversity of languages. Today's lesson begins with the second step, how ministries in the body are classified. I'm sure you'll find this teaching to be helpful. Here now is Dr. Yoder with part 2 of his message, Ministries in the Body.
Now let me guide you to understand how Paul analyzed the ministries in the body by several well-defined steps. Follow me carefully. Step 1 is, the ministries are identified. The second step is, the ministries are classified. I say it this way because of the way the Apostle Paul raises the questions. It is most striking that when he raises these questions, every one of them is so framed as to expect a negative answer. If properly understood, we would say, all are not apostles, are they? And the answer is obviously no. No, not all are apostles. All are not prophets, are they? No, not all are prophets. All are not teachers, are they? No, all are not teachers. All are not miracle workers, are they? No, all are not miracle workers. All are not charismatic healers, are they? No, all are not charismatic healers. All are not speakers of languages, are they? No, not all are speakers of languages. All are not interpreters of languages, are they? No, not all are interpreters of languages. So, if each functioned where placed, there was harmony in the body. When any one of these is overemphasized, there is disharmony. I will say more about the matter of languages when we get to chapter 14. But here we have it very clearly stated by the Apostle Paul that he was not expecting everybody or anybody to function in all of these areas. I believe necessity determines function. Now, I grew up in a family where we spoke Pennsylvania Dutch, Pennsylvania German. At home, my father was very jealous because he wanted all of his children to be able to speak the Pennsylvania Dutch language. Pennsylvania German is not really German in a sense. It is what we call Low German. But you know, then when I went to graduate school, I had to learn the High German, at least so I could read it. But I found it very interesting when traveling in Germany, some of these words came to me in my subconscious mind. We have a friend who was born in Czechoslovakia. After the situation in Eastern Europe quieted down, she went back to her home village. She had not spoken the Czechoslovakian language for many years. And she said it was really amazing. It was really amazing how some of this language came back to her when she was among her relatives and friends in the village where she was born and grew up. Marvelous. Speaking many languages. The second step in the ministries is, ministries are classified. The third step is, the ministries are justified. I use that word deliberately because I want you to understand that the apostle says the best gifts are to be sought after. He said in verse 31, but covet earnestly or desire passionately the best gift, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. It seems to me that these ministries are on a descending scale, apostles, prophets, teachers, and so on down to the bottom. So the best would be at the top, right? Surely not the last two. I would not think so, would you? the best would not be at the bottom. They would be at the top. Now we have a right to question whether or not several of these function today. Do we have apostles in a sense in which the word is used here in Paul's writing, or in the sense in which Jesus used it first in Matthew 10:2, apostles? Do we have prophets today in the sense in which the New Testament speaks of it, or the Old Testament? Prophets were those who lived close enough to God that he could speak to them and they could tell things to come. Well, I believe, like the dean of the seminary, what I did my graduate work told me. He said, "Brother Yoder, we believe the Bible has a back cover." I said, "Yes, amen, so do I." In other words, I believe that divine revelation finished with the last word of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. I do not think we have any revelation comparable to the Bible today, no matter what people may claim. So we're not talking about prophets in that sense. We may talk about prophets in terms of exhortation, but in terms of foretelling the future, which is independent of the Bible, I do not accept that. I do not believe that. We can draw a lesson, a very valuable lesson, from verse 31. Covet earnestly, desire earnestly the best gift. Seek that which edifies the body. And yet he says, "I show you a more excellent way." And we will get to that in the next chapter, chapter 13, that marvelous chapter from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Now, friend, I've been sharing with you from Barnes's notes on the New Testament, the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to do it again. Commentator Barnes puts words in Paul's mouth, and these are the words he puts in Paul's mouth. "I have proved that all endowments in the church are produced by the Holy Spirit, and that he confers them as he pleases. I have been showing that no one should be proud or elated on account of the extraordinary endowments, and that, on the other hand, no one should be depressed or sad or discontented because he has a more humble rank. I have been endeavoring to repress and subdue the spirit of discontent, jealousy, and ambition, and to produce a willingness in all to occupy the station where God has placed you. But I do not intend to deny that it is proper to desire the most useful endowments, that a man should wish to be brought under the influence of the Spirit and qualified for eminent usefulness. I do not mean to say that it is wrong for a man to regard the higher gifts of the Spirit as valuable and desirable, if they may be obtained, nor that the Spirit which seeks to excel in spiritual endowments and in usefulness is improper. Yet all cannot be apostles, all cannot be prophets. I would not have you therefore seek such offices and manifest a spirit of ambition. I would seek to regulate the desire which I would not repress as improper. And in order to that, I would show you that instead of aspiring to offices and extraordinary endowments which are beyond your grasp, there is a way more truly valuable that is open to you all, and where all may excel." End of quotation. I believe Mr. Barnes does a very fine work for us in helping us to understand the ministries in the body. So the ministries in the body, when properly used, create a harmony and well-being in the body. I do not presume to tell you which ministry you may be called to do. I can only say, work this out between you and the Lord. There may be a relationship between the gift and the ministry, and most likely is. My message, however, relates to Christians in the church. If you are not a Christian, then that is your first step. Take that step now. As I pray, turn your heart to the Lord. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank thee and bless thee that thou hast again granted us the opportunity of being together and studying a portion of thy holy book. I pray that as I have tried to show that this ministry in the church, in the body, is done for the advancement and upbuilding of the body, And I pray, God, may it please thee to anoint this message to my believing listener's heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I would remind you, then, that there are three steps to the understanding of the ministry in the body. The ministries are identified. The ministries are classified. The ministries are justified. I trust that God will help you to find the place where you are to serve in the body of Christ. Amen.
My friend, you just heard the concluding part of a two-part message on understanding your ministry in the body of Christ. This teaching is so important. Every individual Christian has a ministry in the body. It may not be very visible, and it may not seem very important, but let me tell you something. There are no ministry gifts that are unimportant. God knows what He's doing, and He makes no mistakes. He is the one who determines what your gift is, and He will direct you on how to use it for His glory and for the blessing of others. It's important for you to remember that the ministry gift God has given to you, He's given it not for selfish reasons, but to bless others in His body, the church. Understanding your ministry in the body will strengthen your participation in your local congregation. First, it will help you to see how God wants to exercise Himself through the gift He's given to you. And it will also give you a sense of fulfillment to see how God is using you to bless others and minister to their needs. Friend, this is a very important subject, and I'd like to help you better understand your place of ministry in the body. I can do that by offering to you a printed copy of the message you heard today. In fact, all the messages in our series of study from 1 Corinthians are printed in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. If you missed the first part of this message that was aired last week, I especially urge you to get a copy of the book. That way, you'll have Dr. Yoder's complete message on ministries in the body. I believe it will help your understanding if you can have the entire message available for your further study. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us an email with your request for the book. Now, I'd like to send a copy of Dr. Yoder's book to you. To receive your copy, just write and ask for the book titled Glory in the Lord. I'm sure you'll find this to be a valuable resource in helping you understand God's Word and the book of 1 Corinthians in particular. So write for your copy today. That title again is Glory in the Lord, and we'll send a copy to you when you write and ask for it. Our mailing address again is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org, where you can send an email with your request for the book. When Dr. Yoder returns next week, we'll move into Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, what we often call the Love Chapter. I hope you'll join us as we learn about the more excellent way. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.